time for another One Great Work Warrior episode and meeting. And we got all the Warriors here with us, of course, and you do know them. We got Chris, Jerry, Jim, Brandon, and of course, Derek and myself, Crypt Rick. And this is going to be a great episode, one you're not going to want to miss. It's a great topic, and one that is definitely going to get you thinking. This episode and this topic was brought to you by Chris, and he's the one that brought this topic to the front. And it is, what is property? Which is a great question, Chris. Let's dive into this one.
All right. Can hear the splash. I got excited about the term property rights because it comes up pretty often in the discussions where anybody's talking about anarchy or libertarianism or, you know, the various freedom so-called groups out there. And I think it was a conversation I saw going to Telegram, and somebody was asking questions about property rights. And to be honest, a lot of my best ideas for what to do on the End Evil podcast or for ideas that I bring forward to the Warriors are things I see people say that I really disagree with, or things that I hear being talked about that seem silly to me. And then I wonder, why are people going saying these things? Why are people thinking these things? And it gives me fuel rather than being upset with the things that I think are being said that seem asinine. Instead, I look for the fuel of like, well, how would I teach or explain the opposition? How can I go through my mind and find something positive to make of these extraordinarily frustrating things I see going on social media conversations and on a lot of shows too, as far as that goes. When I was learning about the autonomy of an individual and freedom and the problems with government and listening to different shows and learning about libertarianism and anarchism, you hear a lot of discussion about property rights and people argue about land ownership. And that's always what comes to mind. And who should own what, and how's this going to work, you know, and this whole other paradigm we're describing. And I was sort of making fun of that by even making the thumbnails for the show called Property Rights, when, as Brandon pointed out, a better term would be what is property? Because ultimately the point that I'm really here to make with this topic, and I can't wait to hear what all the guys have to say about this, but there is no property other than our own body that is worthy of being discussed in this realm of freedom, because the largest percentage of human beings out there have a misconception about what freedom is and what property even is in its most distinct and original form, which is our body, our mind, and our spirit. And that means the things I say, the things I project out of my body, my voice, you know, everything inside of my skin, and the energy I do with my time and the choices I get. And where did I get that property? Well, it came to me from the source, the original ownership, whatever God is, whatever creation is, whatever the great all is what brought me here and gave me this amazing property that I own, which is me, my body. And so to me, that's the only thing that matters when we're talking about rights, and the only thing that matters when we're talking about property. And so that's why I wanted to really nail that down tonight on the show. And I hope a lot of people did come thinking we were going to talk about land ownership and are disappointed, because I'm not going to talk about land ownership in the show. I'm going to talk about body ownership and me ownership and taking responsibility for the most magical, amazing piece of technology out there, which is our own body and self. And on that note, I would like to pass it to Derek. And Derek, what else do you have to say about what is property and property rights?
Yeah, brother. Thank you. That was a great intro and kind of unravels things to where I wanted to bring it, because, yeah. First round, I want to talk about the microcosmic aspects of, you know, what is property, and then kind of like the macrocosm of what we perceive as property and kind of what the lands we live on and all these, you know, invisible lines that we've, you know, made contracts about and all this stuff and all that jazz. So, yeah. I know it can be kind of difficult for people to really just grasp and take ownership of the fact that, you know, the most immediate aspect of property that we have in our lives is our own body, and that it takes a good amount of responsibility. Reminds me of a song, and that just came to mind. It's like life. Think about it as, you know, like any kind of product you hear on some kind of commercial, like think about your body. You have a, you know, for a limited time only, right? You have to take care of it, maintain it, and you have to feed it, you have to bathe it, wash it. You know, the maintenance is of utmost importance, especially as we get older and stuff. And we've spoken about this in several different ways in several different past conversations in regards to, like, the great work of building that temple within, the master builder of your soul, that to, you know, creating that proper throne, to have that seat of the soul resting firmly between the two pillars of enlightenment, masculine and feminine, and you're properly balanced, right? And that takes diligent daily efforts and mindfulness of these things, right? So those are aspects of the responsibility that it takes to maintain our domain, right? Simple and plain, you know? And that is the property that we are having to take responsibility for. And just, isn't it kind of a, it kind of leaves you in awestruck of just realizing, wow, there's like, you know, 30 trillion cells in my body all just doing their own thing. And they're kind of autonomous, yet they can still be dictated towards, you know, my thoughts and emotions. And so wouldn't it be best to steer the ship of your oceans, you know, water, emotion, all that stuff? Wow, I'm being cheeky, huh? No. So to make it short and sweet, because I'm trying to do better with these, property. What is property? You know, do you have the proper tea? Break it down. Proper tea. Standing for all caps truth, as far as, you know, being aligned to objective truth, objective morality, objective reality, and natural law, of course, and all the principles that coincide and all that stuff. And or the proper T, aside from truth, transcendence, transmission. You know, how are we able to alchemize and transmute and transcend, you know, the daily workings and stuff, and how our property is, you know, interacting with all these other properties, and what are we trespassing on? You know, what are the natural law transgressions that we need to be mindful of, and what do we need to be respectful of to not be in any kind of side of aggressing upon even our own property, but the properties of others? And you could take that to just asking yourself, do you have the right to, you know, own other forms of property as far as life forms go? And you kind of take that to veganism, if you will, animals and stuff like. So there's things to consider, and that kind of goes into the archonic and dominator mindset that's been kind of infused within us over centuries, unfortunately. And it's kind of like that mini-me Satanist mindset. And Jim, I'm sure you had this in mind as far as, you know, our talk about Ishmael, in regards to takers versus leavers, right? we all have to find resources and nourish our bodies, our properties, right? With the, you know, the elements of the earth, right? We need to be responsible and try to have that symbiotic relationship where there is a proper equilibrium between man and nature and the animals and the fauna, flora, and all these things that are all within the biosphere, that our immediate environment and the global environment, right? So, yeah, being able to extract what we need and making sure that, you know, things can kind of regenerate and replenish like the earth does in so many magical ways. And that is correspondent to as well of our own bodies as in regards to how it can regenerate and stuff. But yet we cannot be a degenerate to ourselves and just misuse and abuse our bodies. So, you know, our property is damaged, you know, and so over time that can lead to ailments and mishealth. So that's all I'm going to say for now. And Brandon, I think you have some terms to bring it back to basics with the etymology of the word property and all that good stuff. So as we like to always break it down in these chats. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah. What is property? A question that has been asked by many great minds throughout man's history. So let's look at the definition of words. You know, property, it has two connotations, and both are actually fitting, you know, based on your perspective on the topic. So please understand the context, especially when it comes to the second connotation. Okay, so property is possession, you know, ownership. And that's the second, you know, derivation. Because in order for you to have property, in order for you to be able to own property, you have to have some form of ownership, meaning something can be possessed, something is owned. And then you have the second connotation, you know, the distinctive characteristics present within a class. So one would say, what is the property of man? Well, thinking, being able to feel, being able to emote, you know, having free will. You know, it's almost like, what is the essence of man? So we're talking about thinking, feeling, you know, free will. These are all forms of property. These are all things that the individual owns. You know, as soon as they come into existence, you know, man, you know, possesses and owns these qualities, irregardless of what anyone says. And remember, these things are inherent. So once you are birthed into this world, once you exist in this world, you own property. Rather, you know, if you know it or not, and I do understand, you know, you come into this world, you know, very nascent, you know, as a kid, but children still, you know, own their own minds and, you know, own their own bodies. So, you know, one's body, one's mind, one's free will, you know, rights, et cetera, are all forms of property owned by the individual. This is what needs to be understood, is you own your body. Therefore, you own everything that comes along with your body by way of held existence, by way of creation. If you want to say, you know, these gifts were, you know, gifted to you by God, hey, cool, I don't care. But your thoughts, your mind, your free will, your rights, all of that, your feelings are all owned by you. You are the sole proprietor of these means of ownership. So when we look at the word property, what is the root word in property? Proper. That which is proper. Well, what does proper mean? That which is fitting. That which is right. That which is acceptable. So if something is proper, then it fits according to principle. So if something is right, it fits according to law. So property and rights are damn near synonymous terms with each other. Because if something is proper, then it is fitting, it is right. Then therefore, it is straight. And if something is straight, it is according to law. It is regular. because regular meant principles. Principles were something which was, you know, held according to law, first, foremost, held the origin. So you can't have any form of ownership. And this is key. You cannot own anything in reality without any form of responsibility. It is impossible, because with time, things start to degrade. You know, if we don't upkeep our minds and keep all the mind chatter out and keep all, you know, the dogmatic religious beliefs out of our minds, then it will start to pollute the way we think. So there is a level of responsibility that comes along with owning our bodies and owning our minds and being able to correctly think and acquire, you know, information so we can decode and understand reality. You know, being able to feel takes responsibility. You know, being able to harness those hell emotions and not be led and be ran by those hell emotions takes a level of responsibility, which sadly most people are running away from. And of course, like I always like, hell, this is what I want to be known for, is these hands. These hands require what? Responsibility. Because if not, you can take these hands and do a lot of ill will and a lot of wrongdoing and construct a world that is based in violence, coercion, and immorality. Sort of like the world we have now. So, hell, again, you have property, you have ownership, and responsibility. So you have like a kind of threefold nature of this. You have property being held the baseline, then you have ownership, then you have held responsibility. You can't have one without the other. You can't take one out of the equation, because when you take one out of the equation, you have what? You have two thirds. What does two thirds always held equate to? 666 held repeating. Well, hell, what was that always symbolic of? Lower states of consciousness, you know, man in animalistic consciousness, you know, man in chaotic, hell consciousness. And whenever he dips that low, then you will always have the negative consequences by manifestation that he is creating by not being responsible with his hands and by not being responsible by what he thinks. So, hell, again, what does it mean to be responsible? That's a word that gets thrown around a lot, but sadly, most people don't even, you know what it means. It means to be accountable for one's actions. To be accountable for one's actions. And, you know, when you was a child and you wanted a dog or a cat or, you know, maybe a pet fish, and you would ask your mom or dad, you know, hey, you know, can I get this dog? You know, can I get this animal? You know, can I get this pet? And your parents say, you know, that's a huge responsibility. It's like, man, we've gone so far away from those days. You know, now people just get the dog or the fish or the cat for their kid, and like nobody wants to be, you know, have responsible for it. And I'm not saying, you know, hell, you can own another life, but I'm just using that as an hell analogy to explain with ownership comes responsibility, because things start to break down. If you own a car, you know, you have to maintain it. You know, you have to be responsible for it. You know, so how does one get there? You know, how does one properly acquire property? You know, so you have, hell, again, another three things. You have, hell, was it rightfully, hell, acquired? You know, was there coercion involved? You know, was there violence involved for you to, you know, hell, acquire this property? You know, hell, was that theft involved? Or was there a free will exchange? You know, did you inherit this means of property? You know, like we inherit, you know, these forms of property and the distinctive characteristics presented within a class. We inherit those abilities to think. We inherit those abilities to feel. Our free will is inherent. It comes along with creation. And then you can also, you know, use your labor, you know, to actually and rightfully help acquire property. And then you can also, you know, use the exchange of goods. So you rightfully acquire something. You know, you didn't use any violence. You didn't use any immorality or anything unjust. And then two, you maintain its usage. Because if you own something, then you can dictate who gets to use it. If Chris has a piece of technology, he can lend it out to whoever he wants. He can say, no, you don't get to use this piece of technology. You don't get to use this piece of property. And the same thing goes with our mind and our body. We are the ones who get to dictate, you know, where we focus our held attention to. And, you know, if I want to use my body, you know, to help someone build something, then I get to say so. I get to dictate and say no or say yes. You know, we can do a fair trade, a means of, you know, exchange. So I maintain its usage along with any other piece, you know, held property. And then too, you know, tell again, you have to be held responsible for it. Just like if Chris lends that piece of technology and then, you know, is broken, well, he owns it. So he has to, you know, find the way to maintain it and to fix it or, you know, get whoever he, you know, he'll lend it out to help recoup him or, you know, whatever. So it worked that same way. You know, again, we have to be responsible with the body. So you have, was the piece of property rightfully held acquired, maintaining held the usage, and then you are responsible for it because things break down, you know, held given held enough time. All things start to, you know, have to break down. So we have the ability to become aware and then maintain its uses and be responsible for it. You know, so just like with land, we apply these same principles to held the inner kingdom, you know, with our thoughts, our emotions, rights, free will, etc. Because all of these belong to the individual, keyword, the individual, not a group, not a collective, not a whole, to the individual. And the main thing, if we do not claim these valuable assets, you know, in forms of property, then other entities will make the false claim of ownership. Just like with a piece of land, if you do not maintain it and upkeep it, someone else may come and put out a false claim on the land. The same thing goes on with the body. The same thing goes on with the mind. The same thing goes on with the internal, you know, kingdom. Because people haven't claimed their own sovereignty, then other entities have made the false claim that they own your body. They own your mind. And there's a term for that. That's called slavery. And you know what? Slaves were the ones who couldn't own property. So this is a very deep topic that is as old as dirt. And if anyone doesn't understand the importance of property, then you clearly do not understand what you have a right to own and what you don't have a right to own. And therefore, by law, by definition, you cannot understand that which is morally right. You can't. It is impossible. And that's why you are not proper. You are incorrect. Because without that knowledge, there is no construction. There is no building. And you are just walking blind. And therefore, you will always condone theft. And what is theft? It is the unjust taking of something because you wrongfully held, acquired it by way of coercion. So I'll pass it on to Jerry.
Wow, I'm blown away by that, Brandon. That was great. Thanks for passing it on to me. Yeah, I mean, a lot came to mind with you talking there. But I think I'm just going to stick to what I have here on today's agenda before I go on a whole side tangent. So, if you don't own your body, your time, or the product of your labor, who does? All right. So property does not exist because there are laws. Rather, laws exist because there is property. That's a quote by Frederick Bastiat. So what is property, right? So property isn't created by the government. It's derived from natural law based on self-ownership, just as Brandon just mentioned. And then here's another quote from John Locke. Every man has a property in his own person. This nobody has any right to but himself. So, yeah, I mean, we were born into this world. We have our bodies. Therefore, you now know that you own it. Don't second guess yourself. No one owns you, not even the government. So there's this Locke's labor theory that goes, property is justly acquired by mixing your labor with nature. And it's interesting because if, let's say, I plant a seed in the soil and I grow tomatoes, that is yours because you use your hands to create the tomatoes. Okay. So yeah, property rights emerge from action, not permission. We don't have to go ask the government for permission to enact our rights or God-given rights. So yeah, it's not just about owning stuff, but how we own it, right? I mean, you can be pretending you don't own anything, but that's not the right way to go about it, you know? You gotta take that self-ownership, that responsibility that Brandon was talking about. It's interconnected. So, you know, in my next go round, I'll just talk about how property, you know, the synonymous, you know, property rights come with the, you know, moral responsibilities and what threatens them today, aka government and ignorance. I'll pass it on to Jim.
Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, so we're always talking about government here and, you know, the illegitimacy. Jerry was just talking about it. And I came across this quote, just like looking into this, by Adam Smith. It goes, civil government, so far as it is instituted for the security of property, is in reality instituted for the defense of the rich against the poor, or of those who have some property against those who have none at all. But that just goes to the belief that the government is responsible for our property, like giving away that power of letting them like have the secure our property, right? So that's ironic because, like, in reality, you know, they are the biggest violators of our property, right? They're always claiming ownership over us when it comes to taxes and telling us what we can and cannot put into our bodies. You know, these kinds of things that we always talk about. So I thought I'd just take this to a subject that's been part of my that I always talk about, like, since I'm younger, probably since even before I began to drive, but the seatbelt law. And only in my life there was one person besides all you guys who would agree with me about the seatbelt law, that it's so fucked up. Like, I shouldn't have to, if I don't want to wear my seatbelt, I don't have to wear my seatbelt. And I get it that it's very smart to wear your seatbelt. Like, it's a good idea. So it's still my choice. It's a right. And that's another thing, like, just to mention, our very first video we ever made was What is a Right? So if anyone wants to go check that out, because we're talking about, this whole show is about our rights as well. But I just thought I'd mention that. If I don't want to wear my seatbelt, I'm not causing anyone any harm, right? It's right for me to not want to wear my seatbelt. And so I like this month is like seatbelt month. The signs are everywhere. Buckle up, it's the law, or click it or ticket is like the national slogan. And it's everywhere. And I've gotten so many seatbelt tickets in my life, I still don't wear it. But yeah, I came across this one in New Jersey that says there's no excuse for not wearing your seatbelt. Right? And so this is like the heart of what we're talking about. Like, really? Like, there's no excuse? What about I own my body? Is that not a good enough excuse? Like, how is it that you think that you can tell me, like, pull me over while I'm driving around in my vehicle, which is my property, and then under the threat of violence, if I try to get away, they're going to attack me, like imprison me or like physically harm me. If just because I wasn't wearing a seatbelt and I want to defend myself, like, you know, using my own responsibility to defend myself. So they will use violence against me or if I try to get away from them. And that's like claiming ownership over my property, my body. If I take their ticket, you know, they're stealing money from me, which is wrong. It's not right. I've gotten letters in the mail saying they could put a boot on my tire. So they're claiming like ownership over my property as far as my vehicle, like to do things like that. They can like take your car away, and then it's all, you get to registration and licensure and all that, where they're claiming ownership over your property. And, you know, mainly with a lot of this discussion, we're talking about our bodies. Like, so that question for anyone out there, do you own your body? Right? How often do you think of that? And then when you take it just to like something that is so simple as a seatbelt law, and everyone looks at me like I'm silly. Oh, Jimmy, like, yeah, just wear your seatbelt. Just wear it. You know, it's like, it's such a good idea. Like, you know, like, you're stupid if you don't wear it. And, but it's like, would you like attack me for not wearing it? You think it's right for some other person to be able to do that to me because I don't want to wear it? You know, would you do that? You know? Do you think I own my body? I don't have that. And everyone does own their body, right? And like slavery is totally illegitimate. Even slaves do own their body, but you know, they're being fucking, they're under the threat of violence. So that's my seatbelt story. I'll pass it to Rick.
The seatbelt story, I loved it, actually, and I get to go last. Isn't that awesome? You guys covered pretty much so many cool things, and that's what kind of what I really enjoy about these discussions that I have with you warriors, is that I kind of come at it from my own angle, but listening to you guys bring all your unique insight is something I cherish, because it gets me thinking about things I may not have necessarily thought of. And you guys all made great points. Kind of what I was going to bring up was tying into kind of a little bit of what everybody was saying, because Jim's talking about the seatbelt, and I was, when I think about property, I think just what, you know, happened a few years ago, not that long ago. I can't say it on here. I don't want to get struck down, but I hope people know what I'm talking about, where there was, you know, this, they were really claiming ownership over, they were trying to claim ownership over people's bodies and using pretty much any scare tactic or intimidation that they could. And that really got me, because I was in the middle of that, to the point where I've talked myself, and I've talked to other people who've lost friends and family members and things from this divide where they were trying to claim this ownership. And that was a real thing. And wasn't that long ago. It's really annoys me how quickly people forget things. And I just don't, because I was in the middle of it and had to, you know, got into some really intense situations just because of this whole claim on things. And Brandon brought up a great point, because I love that Brandon brought up responsibility, because I think that is something that's important. And a lot of people, I think, they pass the responsibility, you know, their responsibility onto others. And God, you know, I hope people that are listening to this will ask themselves a question, like, you know, can you take someone's property like that? Like, I hope people really think about this, what we're talking about, because this is really important stuff. And so many people are willing to compromise and even give up their property, and I would say slash rights with that, kind of hand in hand, to go along, you know, kind of to go along with the crowd or to get along with the group or whatever it is, not to stand out. And, you know, your property, I truly know and believe must be protected, which it, a lot of the cases it isn't. And I think this is something that has to be protected and fought for. And I like what Derek brought up, because he was saying, you know, Derek brought up upkeep of your property. And I talk about this a lot on my radio show and other shows that I do. It's God, I talk so much about shadow work and doing that inner work. And when I think about it, what is our property? And I think I kind of made the mistake. I was asking people about property rights, and that was my mistake. I'm glad Brandon kind of corrected me, because I right away when I was asking people that went to land, but now I want to ask actually people about just property. I think I'm going to be really curious to see what people say when I bring up what we're talking about, if they automatically go back to land property, or they're going to even contemplate what we're saying or bring it up. But when I think of property, it's all the things that you guys said. I think about the mind, and I think about the spirit and our bodies. And those are the properties that we should be defending and fighting for and maintaining, which, you know, there's work involved in that. And there's so many things trying to influence our influences in our life and take it, like, destroy these properties, and you have to be careful of that, I think. So yeah, this is such an important topic, guys. It really is. And another thing I think that people have trouble with too is people understanding that people do, like when you guys were talking about the body, like a lot of people may not agree. Like when we're talking property, we're absolutely correct that you own your body. And a lot of people may not agree with your decisions, what you do to your body. You could be harming yourself. We can talk about there's so many ways to harm yourself, whether it's drinking, drugs, your diet, you pick your poison. You may not agree with it, but the thing that people got to get through their head is that, you know, they own their body. They can do with it what they want. So that's really an interesting thing. Is so many people are chiming in and trying to control things like that. So that's kind of what I'm going to add on this thing around. I just think this is such an important topic, and one that I think people should think about: property, and then what is your property? So yeah, I'll go back to you, Chris. I'll add on that afterwards.
Thanks, Rick. Proper.
Proper. There you go.
Jim, you reminded me, I have to tell a cop story too, because when I was 17, 18, 19, I probably got pulled over and searched, had my car pulled apart 10 or 20 times. I've been handcuffed multiple times. I've had a gun to my head. And that's one of the stories I was going to tell you. Is a friend of mine, I was in his car with some friends, and we were actually right in front of my parents' apartment complex, which was a circle of apartments all around. And I got pulled out at gunpoint on a loudspeaker. They had shotguns and everything, because my friend had what looked like a gun in his trunk, which was a BB gun. It was pretty obvious that it was, but there was one moment when I was getting out of the car, and the woman who had her gun pointed at me said, "Put your hands up," which I did. And then she said, "On your knees." And she meant get on your knees, or, you know, get down on your knees. But she said, "Put your hands up on your knees." And I put my hands on my knees. And my friends afterward were like, "We thought you were going to get shot right then," because she was freaking out. She started screaming at me. And later they were, she, her and the head cop were saying, you're lucky we didn't kill you. And it's like, who, it's like, you know, looking back at that situation, what makes these people think I'm their victim, I'm their property to be able to do with what they please in the first place, to be able to yelling these commands, not with proper use of grammar, to where I could have got killed because she didn't use the correct subject before the verb. You know, that was her mistake, you know, but that is the mentality of people. And what I really wanted to point out was that there's cultural confusion, massive cultural confusion with the idea of ownership and owing. As far as that goes, people say I own my house or I own my car, that they don't actually own their, they owe it. They owe it to the bank. I owe my car. I owe my, you know, not to say you can't own a car. I mean, you can have paid it off, but you know, like our whole mentality on ownership and owing are, is a very confused, strange thing. And what's interesting is when you look back at the etymology of own or ownership, there is a similar derivation to owe or ought, O-U-G-H-T. And I think that's interesting how it ties into responsibility, like Brandon and Derek talked about, and the other guys did too. We're responsible for our own body, right? And so that goes for every part of our body, like our lungs, our heart, our vocal cords, right? So we can project things with our body. We can project noises. We can project sounds, thoughts, ideas. We can project energy with the time that we have inhabiting this body. And who gave us all that stuff? Where did that stuff come from? Was it given to us by the place we live? Did the land give us, you know, the ability to use our lungs and our vocal cords? Where did that come from? You know, I don't care what you want to believe, but I know for a fact that it was given to me by the great all, the universal source of all mental life. Whatever gives life, whatever animates life into beings gave that to me, the ability to control all those things. So anybody else or anything else on this earth that try to have control over any of those aspects, whether it's my voice, my energy, or my vocal cords, or my blood, or how it pumps through my body, or how I move my body in this earth, as far as that goes, is really nobody's business until I infringe on somebody else's ability to do those things themselves. And it's like, this whole thing's a setup that came from the universal all, original that way. It came to us original. All this other made-up stuff that people have come up with that tries to own your thoughts or your ideas or, I mean, it's a lot of little subtle things. I remember my first job, they're like, oh, you have to cut your hair if you want to work here. I had to cut my hair shorter because I had long hair and I wanted to work in this kitchen. It's like, okay, I did it. I made that little sacrifice because I wanted to work there and needed the money, right? And they're providing me with the money that's going to pay for my food and such. But they took a part of me. You know what I mean? They forced me to give up a part of myself. And that happens in all these incremental ways in our society. Through school, they take the kid from the parent. They take your time and your energy. They say, no, you have to learn these things. You don't get a choice. If you don't, then there's going to be consequences and we're going to take more things from you. So whether it's school or the government or adults you don't know, from the time we're children, we're being taught that we owe something to all these people and these structures and that they're going to take from us when really they're not the creator. They didn't give us these things in the first place. They don't have a right to take them. So until we understand this most basic aspect of freedom, that slavery is stealing another person's choices. It's stealing their choice to say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to wear my seatbelt. I don't want to go through that door. I don't want to walk through that scanner. I don't want to take that shot. I don't fucking have to because I own this. It was given to me by the almighty whatever that created us. And so anything that tries to cross that line just doesn't understand basic ownership. That's the only person I owe to is a non-person, the all, the great all. And that's where truth resides. And that's where I owe my allegiance and my responsibility because that's where it all came from. So anything other than that that tries to make claims on these things is full of shit and it's a lie, and it's a redundancy of something that's already done. It's already owned. It's already straight in alignment. That's what Ren said that word means. Right is alignment, and so does property. It also means the same thing, properly aligned with my original setup that came from wherever it comes from. So that's the really, to me, I want to yell it over and over at people until we understand self-ownership and ownership of our mind, body, and spirit. How can we then start talking about these things out in the world that we so-called own? Things that you only have for certain periods of time, things that don't last. When we can't even agree on the most basic, where the word comes from, the very word own means my body and myself. That's the one last thing I'm going to, before I pass it on. When I looked up the etymology of property, I found an interesting thing. There's a character, a nature, a characteristic, an individual right, one's own, particular to oneself, from proprius or proprietus. These original ideas connotate an inherent quality, you know, something belonged and something of character essence that's particular. And that's what each of us are, is an original, particular, like a snowflake, something that has its own ownership. And that's what that word means. So it's very deep in the meaning of the word itself. And I wanted to point back to that, to if we don't possess ourselves, then what can we possess at all? Derek, got any more to riff off that?
Yeah. Ripping and riffing. And we ain't tripping. And it's, oh man. I like how you, you got it done. To the redundancy of things with that. And yeah, you mentioned, you know, like, so who's claiming ownership over our bodies to whatever degree, right? And that really kind of came into the forefront of my mind, especially since the dawning of the Rona, as I like to say, where, oh, you got to do this. They got the lockstep going on and, you know, the Jabberwockies are coming after you and whatever the hell. Right. So, yeah, it made you really want to armor up righteously and get that proper self-defense in order rhetorically first to articulate things so they don't escalate into some kind of physical confrontation and you're pushing up against the matrix and they're physically, you know, controlling you and like actually claiming ownership over your body, like, you know, you're in handcuffs or whatever. Right. That could be in any kind of situation, you know, with, you know, law enforcement, you know, outside of, you know, the Novid or whatever. So it kind of reminded me the whole time, you know, when, you know, whether it be a mixture of traditional or neo-feminism, you know, the whole my body, my choice type of thing. How come, I mean, you guys remember this, right? A lot of people weren't hooting and hollering about, you know, my body, my choice when it comes to, you know, what is going to be, you know, forced upon us via experimental things of allopathic assholery, if you will, in the medical domain of things that is totally imbalanced to, you know, the scientisnic scientism aspects of it, but not to dwell on that. But does it not get you up in arms to really, you know, does it not light a flame within you of, you know, that righteous indignation or anger or, you know, that just igniting some kind of self-defense, not in that, you know, egoic impulsive thing, but, you know, proper self-defense when someone is infringing upon your property rights. There's that ongoing theme that is not the title of this video, but just it's like that double entendre, as we mentioned before the recording, right, Brandon? And yeah, it's like your rights are your property. So defend them both as if you fucking know them and are living them and are embodying them. right? Do you know yourself more than anyone else? Do you own your thoughts? Do you own your emotions? You know, because those are going to dictate your actions and all that stuff. And if those are not, you know, properly owned, then some of your behaviors are operating off of other aspects outside of yourself, to put it kind of simple and plain. So on the macro scale side of things, yeah, like land ownership, what's the deal with this? And it's such a tricky thing because, you know, like, it's like we've had discussions in the Telegram chat, you know, months ago and stuff, and there's like the imbalance to like anti-materialist aspects of this sometimes. Like, so are we all not supposed to live anywhere and do, like, how do we live? Like, you see animals, they live in habitats and all that stuff. Are humans not supposed to own any kind of thing? Are we not allowed to build upon Mother Nature with, you know, products derived from nature, whether it be in the prima materia form or synthetic as fuck, right? Thanks a lot, modernity. You're really killing the beauty of what has been built, you know, centuries ago, man. What the hell? Cutting corners and costs, are we? A little too much? So anyways, and yeah, going back to like the, you know, it's like the levers and takers, going back to that theme, right? Of so in regards to, you know, being too materialistic as opposed to just like being balanced and not trying to just not fuck it up for the environment and whatever, right? And not act like, oh, I'm going to be owning this. And what's up with the, even on a relationship level, like guys like, yeah, this is my girl, you know, this and that. It's like that alpha male monkey, you know, overprotective type of stuff. It's like, yes, like you can say like, I have a girlfriend, but you don't own the fucking individual. So get the fuck over your, you know, and it's like a lot of these things are like from the flip side of things of being, insecure, I guess, real to whatever degree, or just whatever, just maybe not raised properly by their own fucking mothers. Sorry guys, but yeah, there's a lot of unconscious parents out there. Try to own yourself. And yeah, some of us don't have any parents anymore from whatever side or either or all this stuff, and we need to own the animus aspects of ourselves, right? Take it to Carl Jung in psychology, shadow work, and all these things. And yeah, our parents are not going to have all the answers and wisdom advice for us. And so it's, you know, especially when you're on these higher levels of consciousness, we need to reparent ourselves in a sense, right? So anyways, like be the mother and father that you wish you had when you understand what conscious parenting is all about, and wanting to, if you have kids, you know, transfer that over, or teach it to folks that are, you know, goes down the list. I'm getting far away from what I wanted to bring in conclusion, right? But so yeah, like if we're owning a piece of property, we do want to defend it to a good degree, and, you know, having, you know, no trespassing signs on your land and this and that. And how are you constructing your boundaries, at least under whatever circumstances, right? Because yeah, unfortunately, there we live in a collective conscious unconscious, and like kind of we did our show on zombies, right? So right, so there's the aspect of properly consciously defending your property and being equipped to do so with the proper tools and teeth, right? I wish I could do the same over here in Europe. Unfortunately, they stripped us down a long time ago. Anyways, there's the video that Chris, you shared in the Slack the other week, the fuzzy lumpkins, man. Like, there's the difference between like being way too overreactive and like kind of trigger happy. It's like they're like shooting butterflies. Like, get the fuck off my property. It's like, hey, like, there's some people that might not see a fence or a sign, or there might not be a fence or a sign in visible sight for some people. And for, you know, you have the typical, and it's not to be stereotypical, but, you know, this, I'm like, the hillbilly or whatever, like, on their kind of land, on their porch with the shotgun, like, hey, get off my property and this and that. And the person's just like, I'm like, hey, man, I'm just like, I'm lost. What's up? It's like, get the fuck out of here. It's like, I'm not trying to cause any harm. You know, like, that is like the thing. Like, are they trying to cause harm? That is the question they need to keep in mind, right? So with that in mind, I'm going to pass it on because I'm sure folks have more to say on that. So thank you. Brandon, you're next, man.
Hey, man, we all should turn into fuzzy lumpkins when the government shows up on our property. But, no, you know, let's be clear that slavery is not just a claim. It is a false claim, you know, because someone can make a claim and that claim be true. But when you make the claim of ownership upon another's body, upon, you know, upon another's health, upon another's, you know, mind, upon another's free will and behavior, then that is a false claim. That is an improper claim. So we can't just talk about property and what's proper, you know, because the only way to understand what a right is to understand what a right is not. So we have to understand that which is improper. So what does it mean to be improper? It means to, you know, not be true. It means to not be, you know, accurate, to not be correct. And the most important thing, to not be in line with that which is moral. So if a behavior is improper, then it is considered immoral, because it is immoral, you know, it is wrong. So if you was to do something that is improper, it is not acceptable, it is not accurate, and therefore it shouldn't be, you know, held in society. It should actually be weeded out, you know, of society, and therefore you can get to and filter out that which is improper and understand how what is wrong, and therefore you can understand that which is right and understand that which is proper, and therefore you can understand what property is. So anything or anyone that puts out this false claim of ownership upon one's thoughts, body, free will, rights, health, etc., all of those things that, you know, apply to the characteristics of man in our, you know, species or class of property, that is an immoral, false, incorrect claim. It doesn't hold any weight. You know, so just because people believe in it doesn't make it proper, doesn't make it right, doesn't make it correct. So hence it doesn't fit. It's not suitable. It's unacceptable. It's irregular. It's wrong. It's inconsistent, because truth is consistent. The lie is inconsistent. And that's what we are dealing with, is we are dealing with improper thoughts, you know, which leads to improper, you know, behavior. And that's why we have the improper, unjust, you know, stealing of property. So there is a pattern that we can come to know, and this is key here, because all of this sums all of this up when it comes to higher states of consciousness, when it comes to being human. And the whole point of consciousness in and itself is to be aware and to be able to recognize patterns, not just within, you know, the inner domain, but also in the external domain, in the realm of nature and objective reality. So can we view, can we come to recognize a certain pattern of what happens to any society when there is the constant bombardment and the uses of unjust, violent, coercive force backed by the false claim of ownership upon individuals over large periods of time? Is there a pattern that exists when it comes to consequences and conditions? Once those conditions are present, the consequences inevitably follow. Is there a pattern here? Can man see a pattern? So can man look at history and see a pattern of the improper false claim of ownership upon others? Because you can see a pattern. You can see a pattern. You can look at man's history and look at every society that whenever this false claim of ownership is put out upon the individuals, given enough time, what happens? There is a pattern here because it's backed by law, because that pattern always leads to the same conditions. Those conditions will manifest consequences in reality. So what is a pattern? What is a pattern? Again, her definitions. A pattern is a model or outline of something to serve as a guide. As a guide. And there's patterns all throughout nature. Nature is made up of patterns. The objective reality is made up of patterns. That's why we have to align to come to understand those patterns. And therefore, we can understand ourselves and understand nature and have guidance. So we can view this pattern and we can come to recognize it. And this pattern is supposed to guide us. And there's this old saying, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. Yes, because the pattern is recognizable. We have the ability, because we have the consciousness, to perceive and to become aware of this pattern when it comes to the false claim of ownership upon the individual and what happens when those conditions are present and the consequences that follow, because it always leads to the same consequences, because that's what patterns are there to show you, to teach you, to guide you. Certain patterns you may want to follow and some patterns you may want to learn from and not, go down that path. That's just like there's a pattern of what happens whenever man continues to touch a hot stove. And you learn from that. But sadly, it shows that we lack consciousness, because if we can't recognize that pattern, what does it say about our own ability to accurately perceive, to accurately, become aware of ourselves and our surroundings? And that's why we are experiencing the conditions that we are in, because we are ignoring those patterns, then therefore we are simply unconscious. And if we are simply unconscious, then we aren't living up to that which is a truly moral human being. So then therefore that will put us actually below the animal kingdom.
You're right.
And sadly, there are consequences that follow because those conditions of immorality are being met. And therefore, once conditions are met, that's causality in effect, then therefore consequences will follow. And that's why we are reaping these negative repercussions, because we have chose to be improper rather than proper. We have chosen to put out the false claim of ownership upon others' property. And then you have billions of people who support that false claim. And that's just simply called slavery, but people call it government. People call it, religion. It's all the same. You can call it a cult. You can call it government, call it a religion, call it mind control, a mind virus. It's all the same. It's just slavery. It's just slavery. So,
I pass it on. Can I add on to that, Brandon?
Oh, yeah.
I know it's kind of, but I agree. I'm really loving what you're saying about patterns, because I find myself saying this so much on my radio show and in interviews. It's like, it gets frustrating. How can people not see the patterns of actions, like open a history book or something. I don't know what to tell people, but they just don't seem to recognize these patterns that you're talking about. And we find humanity making the same mistakes and getting worse in a lot of cases. And it's frustrating. So I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because it doesn't seem that people are noticing them. And it's like, wow, like, can't you look back and see these patterns and know that if we don't change what these patterns are, if you don't recognize them to change them, we're going to get more of what you just said. And what's really disturbing about it is, to build on top of that, and Chris kind of touched on, he was talking about the police and that, and I was thinking, that's the problem, is that we also have enforcers that are all, you know, very eager and willing to come and take your property by force if necessary, which is a whole other thing. But I was just thinking that when Chris was saying that, I said, we got these people that are more than willing to do that. And you brought up too, Brandon, there were some cool things, because I was thinking about how we're being influenced and how they're manipulating. And when I think of the spirit, I think of, just for examples, when I think spirit, I think organized religion is, they're after the kind of the property. And then when I, obviously with health, I think of big pharma for in that area. And these are, like I said, just examples, but it's just giving something for people to think about. And then of course, when mind, I automatically think of the education system. And then, you know, of course, these are all overseen by government. So that's the crazy part. And how people back this is really, and not understand that, is kind of crazy to me, because we talk about it so often, but it's really, you have to see that. I think people have to start really understanding what we're talking about. As I was just saying, you know, when I went around the first time, and geez, you know, I don't know what to tell people if they can't see what we're talking about, this property thing and recognizing patterns. These are great points and great examples that you guys are bringing up. And it's just, it's like you said, Brandon, you know, it's this false claim is what it comes down to. When we boil this all down, this false claim over our property with all the examples I just given, and people have to recognize patterns. Jeez, it's so key. It really is. We're doomed to keep repeating this, and it's just getting worse. And it just frustrates me how eagerly people give up their responsibility and pass it to other people, not realizing how a true gift and how powerful it is with our property. Like, this is something that should be so fought for and has in the past been fought for and defended. To get us to where we, you know, to even to be where we are. And we're slowly losing this, because people are just so willingly to just give it up. And it gets frustrating. So that's kind of what I want to end on and pass it over to Jerry. What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, I think something that we really need to own is our emotions, because emotional mind control is real. They tell people the truth. They don't want to hear it, man. So, you know, listen to that music. Let the truth enter you. Really take it to heart. Let the seed flourish of truth. So, yeah, the last time, you know, I was talking about that the property rights, you know, they start with the self-ownership, you know, and the labor. And, you know, it's all derived from natural law, not man-made law. You know what I mean? You know, what's the Lex Rex? Yeah. So, yeah, property is a moral responsibility. I think we already discussed that. And so you have to defend your rights. It's not just going to happen automatically. So someone trespasses you, you have your senses, you see whether the trespasser is a threat. And if he's not, you know, be a kind person and say, hey, you know, I think you're stranded, you know, this and that. You know, that's being ethical, help them along their way, but if they are a threat, we have the right to self-defense. You know what I mean? And here's a quote. With great power comes great responsibility. You know, that's from Voltaire. So, yeah, I mean, Brandon touched on what's wrong. So, you know, as I was just talking about the self-defense principle, also don't initiate aggression. Don't go doing wrongs, stealing. So, let's say I own a gun. Don't go shooting schools. I mean, killing innocent people. So, I just want to talk about how, you know, the government is mind controlling people, having them do, you know, kill these innocent people, as I was just saying. They're a threat. This whole ideology, or it's, what's it called? It's a superstition, right? It's illegitimate. That virus is absolutely killing, at least, you know, they're falsely claiming ownership of our rights, our property. So legal positivism sees rights as granted by the state, not derived from morality. So, I mean, you have taxes, licensing, kind of what Jim was saying about the whole seatbelt thing. You know, eminent domain. Then you got the data surveillance, censorship, the technocratic ownership of information. So, yeah, I think I'm just going to say to respect your own property and others. It's really simple. You know, use your time, your energy, and tools to build, not destroy, because that's what the whole point of this universe is to grow in consciousness, not to, I guess, destroy it. And, yeah, form alliances, you know, we got to build communities based on voluntarism and natural law to end slavery. I will just kind of, I guess, say that the true ownership of property is only legitimate when it is acquired without coercion and used without violating the rights of others. So that's, you know, taken from Mark Pass's work. I'll pass it to you, Jim.
Cool, thanks. Yeah, Mark Passio, it's always been a big influence on us, and anyone who's watching us, I totally recommend to go check out his work, right? We're making these videos for people who are just starting to come online about natural law, and he's like the one of the greatest resources when it comes to learning about property rights. So, but it's always good to mention him, right? And Chris had mentioned about, you know, this mythology that it's a big part of our consciousness that other people can own us. And what are the consequences and the behaviors of humanity because of, we believe this, like so many people believe that it's legitimate for other people to claim ownership of us. And Derek brought up the book Ishmael a couple of times, and Daniel Quinn in that book gets to the greatest, another great mythology of our time, that the planet belongs to us. Like people believe the planet was made for us, and like we own the planet and we can do whatever we want with it, right? And so like that gets into like bigger things like colonization and like improper acquisition of land and like, you know, taking it to like the United States, things like we're going to take Hawaii, you know, like, and when it comes to like any property, it's like, it's always wrong when you're taking more than you can even use, you know, and that's such a big thing when it comes to governments claiming land and large countries, and we own the all of that, and the division of that is like, it's out of control. So how does that, with this belief system that we own the planet, that's what you get. You get a whole bunch of people believing that it's legitimate for governments to acquire that amount of property, right? And I just, this quick analogy that kind of related to Ishmael as well. Like when I was in Uganda, when my kids were born, and in the foothills of the Rwenzori Mountains, which is the source of the Nile River, it's like 17,000 peak, and there's all these foothills, and it's a beautiful country, but the more like you tune into it, you can see that it's all been deteriorated by agriculture. And if you get further away from that, you can see like where people aren't living, the lushness of the land. And yet, in this, the village, like where my ex-wife grew up, that area is along a river, and they kept getting floods, and it would just totally wipe out like bridges and people's homes, and it would keep happening. And Brandon's talking about patterns. And the people say, like, how can God do this to us? You know, like this kind of belief, like, it's like, no, you're doing it to yourself. And it's kind of the same thing where you can, if you could recognize that pattern, but like around here, so many people are getting cancer, right? And like say your child gets cancer. And it's like, how could God do this? It's like, no, we're doing it to ourselves. And it all, these are all the consequences of believing that we own the planet or people can own us, you know? So I'll leave it there. We're about wrapping up, right?
Yeah. That's a good spot too, Jim, because I just, you know, the dark spiral that ensues, like you're saying, and you know, these guys were talking about patterns. Ultimately, it's a mind, body, and spirit situation. On the physical level, like, I do encourage people, learn self-defense, like learn those tactics and stuff. But we're not really there in terms of changing the world in the physical level. I don't think that, you know, if I would have not done what the cop said in that moment, I wouldn't be here to talk about property and rights and ownership. So I'm not recommending that people do foolish things in the context of the situation we're in. You're going to get destroyed in the physical realm for standing up for your inherent rights, because most people are living in this belief system. So the battlefield going forward for us, for you listening, is the mental and the spiritual realm. This isn't just a legal debate. It's a spiritual battle for the very existence of humankind going forward. True property rights emerge when natural law is honored and defended. How's that going to happen if we don't reclaim our minds and our choices in this realm? So if we're not laying that down for the next generation, if we're not setting that precedent in mind, in form, in the spiritual and mental realms, it can't manifest going forward into the physical realm. And people are going to be more and more pushed into a sharper and sharper matrix of control that will eliminate options. And so creating options going forward for humanity, for your children, for your grandchildren, requires at this moment to be awake and aware to the fucking problem of slavery and to be talking about it and changing and reclaiming our minds and the spiritual realm. And that is by understanding objective morality and teaching objective morality and natural law. Thanks so much, guys. Jim, Jerry, Rick, Brandon, Derek, you guys are awesome. I loved hearing all of your perspective on this topic, and we'll be back in a month on another fantastic topic to blow your mind. Thanks for checking out the One Great Work Warriors, folks. Good night.
Hands on your knees, hands on your knees.